listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. My name is Tom Melsoff, and you're listening to Baseball Zealot Radio. This is show 29, and it's August 30th, 2007. We got an exciting show today. We have Al Yellen from the Bleed Cubby Blue, which is a very exciting Cubs blog. It's a Cubs blog that I frequent very, very often. I have it in my RSS, and it's just pretty much my go-to blog whenever I want to get the latest Cubs news. Al, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Thanks very much. Doing good, thanks.
I have to say that I've been meaning to have you on the show for pretty much the whole season, and I thought, well, I think I'm going to wait till the Cubs are in first place. And the day they were in first place, I emailed you, and they were in first place probably about two days, day and a half. But now, on August 30th,
they're still in first place.
They're still in first place.
Which is good, you know, each day that goes by, it's another day off the calendar.
Exactly. So I'm just thankful that, we can say that. And
absolutely.
What are, 30 games?
31 games left.
31 games left in the season.
Getting close to crunch time.
And I'm just so excited. Each day goes by, I'm getting more and more excited. I've been kind of reticent about getting too excited this year. I feel exactly the same way. But I know how that feels very much. I was there with the Florida series, but this year, a little more excited each time, so. Anyway, Bleed Cubby Blue, I gotta say, I said it earlier, it's a great site. Give me a little background on, maybe a little bit about you, how long you've been a Cub fan, how you got Bleed Cubby Blue started.
I've been a Cubs fan for a long time. I'm probably older than a lot of bloggers. I'm 50, so I've been a Cubs fan since the 60s. You know, I grew up with Ron Santo and Billy Williams and Ernie Banks and Freddie Jenkins.
Oh, you too, huh?
And all that group, and you know how the disappointment we suffered in 1969, when I was 12 years old. And I started blogging. I had my own site started in 2003, and I really started the site just as a kind of a blog because, you know, everybody's blogging these days. So I thought, well, you know what, why not me? But I quickly discovered that most of what I was blogging about was the Cubs, so it pretty much became a Cubs blog, although I occasionally wrote about some other things.
Sure.
Still do. I'll occasionally post a movie review or a book review or something like that. But, the 03 season was a pretty good season to pick to start.
Right.
And, since the disappointment at the end of that year, it hasn't been quite as good. 2.5 years ago, I was invited by Tyler at Athletics Nation, who's part of the SB Nation, which is now a group of over 100 different sports blogs of all different sports, to join the group, and that's where Bleed Cubby Blue started.
And the way that your type of blog works, you post daily. Your posts, you know, they're very detailed. When you go there, they're very the long posts, but at the same time, they're very, very readable. They're game recaps and they include, snippets of quotes. They're very, like I say, very detailed on like the game details from the game before. Just any interesting news about, the Cubs and maybe possibly anything else that might be pertinent to the Cubs. I find it very, very.
I'm just trying to write for, you know, the people who are kind of like me, who've been around for a long time, and also to, you know, tell some people who are younger and who haven't experienced the same as I did what that's all about, and the fact that I can get to the ball game in the ballpark every day. I know there's a lot of Cubs fans that don't live in Chicago.
Right,
and
yeah.
Either never get to Wrigley Field or very rarely get there.
Right.
So, you know, maybe give them an idea of, you know, what it's like to be out there every day.
Right. No, that's good. Now, I find that your blog is very rich in tradition and history. And one thing you mentioned, you know, you're shall we say, older than a lot of bloggers out there that I find the fact that you're more entrenched in hitting the history and tradition of the Cubs, it really shines through. And that's one thing I find is really cool about Bleed Cubby Blue. One thing I liked about your over the winter, you know, when, you know, baseball news is not exactly, you know, coming through every day. You did the 100 top Cubs of all time, and I have to say that was just fantastic. You started
I appreciate
out,
that. You know, to be honest with you, it started just as an idea to try because I thought, what am I going to fill all the days with?
And
I thought, well, you know, this is, and I have to be honest, I stole the idea from, Halo 7, the Angels blog that had done the winter before. And I thought, you know, that's an interesting idea. I can, you know, I went and made up my own list. I vetted it with a couple of people who, know a lot more about history than I do. And even at that, there were some controversial choices, which is part of the fun of doing it.
Oh, that's
it.
All the whole
discussion
idea.
Right. Right. And it went over far, far better than I had hoped. There were 15 other people who helped me write player profiles. People were very much into doing the research and writing the profiles. And I think people really enjoyed viewing that.
It's one thing for a blogger or anyone to make a list of top 100 players, but as you say, your player profiles were just amazing. I mean, you have a page or more, depending upon the player, of just detailed histories and bios of these players, and I look forward to reading these. It's like I found out information on Cub players that I did not know. And you stood out with 100, and of course, like who's gonna be next? You know, that kind of thing. It was just
like
really
I
cool.
said. I think the people who wrote them, you know, myself included, because I did research myself.
Sure.
A lot of the stuff is not stuff I knew off the top of my head.
Right.
There were, you know, people learned something. Everybody learned something.
Right.
So that
and
was
like
good.
You said, the whole idea is the, you know, the controversy, you know. You end up with top three were, Sosa was third, on top of my head was second. Because you got on the left side of your blog here, And you got Cap Hansen a second, that's right, and then Ernie Banks.
Yeah,
that's
right. Right, right.
Good choice for number one. Ernie Banks is my top number one Cub. But anyway, thank you for that. I have a friend who's a Cub fan. He also is a big Bleed Cubby Blue fan. He has one question for you. How come you don't wear your NASA cap? And just as a background for people who don't know, you wear different caps to Cubs.
I'll tell you, I do have that NASA cap. I got it last year from a guy who, this isn't the guy who got it for me, it's just the guy from Houston.
Uh-huh.
Is that who's asking?
No, it's a friend
A guy who was a Bleed Cubby Blue reader, offered because I had hoped to get somebody to get me one who was going to the game in Houston where they gave them away.
Okay.
And he didn't get them, so I wound up actually buying one on eBay. And, it's in the queue. Potentially I might pick it up and wear it again, you know, but I've got a couple hundred hats, so I gotta rotate all of them.
And for those who don't know, Al here, wears different caps to ball games and record and documents the record of how the Cubs do on the website, and so you can, you know, go to a certain page on Bleed Cubby Blue and find out, you know, each kid got a picture of each cap and how the Cubs are done when he wears these caps, and so far they're 0-0 when you wear an NASA cap, so he just asked that question.
Well, that was from last year. Yeah, I was left over from last year. I haven't worn it yet this year.
Okay.
So yeah. That's why that's 0.
But anyway, enough about, the website. Let's talk about the Cubs a little bit. Right now they're kissing her sister against the Brewers so far.
This is looking very much like last year's Cardinals, who just, you know, squeaked in to win the division. They almost blew a 7-game lead with 13 games left.
Right.
And that's. It's really something, but they got in, and everybody thinks, getting in with 83 wins is not the way to do things. I don't care. You get in the playoffs, you get in, and, you know, the Cardinals got hot in October, and that's the important thing.
Sure.
And, any team can do that.
Right. Now, is it me, or is the bullpen really coming through as of the last few weeks?
Yeah, because even in games when they're behind,
right.
You know, even yesterday when they got behind, you know, the bullpen didn't give up anything more.
Yeah. Exactly.
After they got behind, at least gave them a chance of getting back in the game, and
right.
That's been really important. You know, that happened a couple of the games in San Francisco where they went behind early, and the bullpen, the starting pitching and the bullpen,
right.
Held on long enough for them to tie up games. It's been real important. It's been real good. The bullpen's been real good.
Mm-hmm.
Even Scott Ayer, who was so awful,
right.
The first half has been pretty good, you know, and they need a left-hander to be good.
Right, and they've been so suspect earlier in the season. Now this is when they really need them, and they are actually coming through. And
yep,
that's
absolutely. Yep.
Zambrano's signing, is that going to make a huge difference to Carlos?
So far it hasn't.
No.
The game... The game he came out and started after, right after he signed, the one against the Cardinals that was rained out.
Right.
Well, you know, he looked like he had no hitter stuff that day.
Right.
And of course he got rained out, and since then his two starts have been pretty mediocre. Will it make a difference? I don't know. I mean, you'd like him to step up and be the guy he's been, who in theory has earned that money. But
right.
So far it hasn't happened. They need him to. They really need him to. That's what the ace of the staff does. You know, right now the ace of the staff may be Ted Lilly.
Right.
So.
The Cubs held in there while Soriano was gone. Do you think that this will be a boost now that he's back?
It's funny because they went 8-11 and gained 2.5 games on first place while they were doing it.
Right.
That just shows what the mediocrity of the division.
Yeah.
Soriano hasn't done much since he came back, but on the other hand, you know, unlike a lot of guys, he did not go on a rehab assignment. He may still be, you know, getting his timing back. They need him to step up. They need Derek Lee to start stepping up and hitting home runs. They need Aramis Ramirez to start stepping up. They're not hitting for power.
No.
Now, granted, you know, they won the game on Tuesday, getting hit after hit after hit. There were no home runs.
Right.
So you can do that. You can do that, but this team has got to start hitting for some power too, I think. And they have guys who can do it. They just have to start doing it.
No, I agree. Yeah. They have not done this all year, and who knows? Maybe they can win without power, but it doesn't. It sure would be. Nice if they could come through with a little bit of home run power.
Exactly.
Your thoughts on Soriano leading off and bumping Terrio down to the second spot?
Well, you know, Terrio hit well in the leadoff spot.
He did.
There's no question about that, but. What the problem is that not just this year, but throughout his career, Soriano has hit better leading off. Not that he's necessarily a perfect leadoff man because he does strike out too much, but he does not, for some reason, it seems like it's a psychological thing with him. He just doesn't hit well when he's hitting somewhere other than leadoff. So if you want to get the most out of Alfonso Soriano, you pretty much have to lead him off and just live with the strikeouts. Because every now and then, he's going to, yeah, some days he'll have a 3-strikeout game. And other days he could have 4 hits and hit 3 home runs. It's, you know, both have happened this year.
Looking ahead to hopefully the playoff race, do you sense more competition from the Cardinals, the Brewers, who knows, the Reds?
I don't see the Reds hanging in there. You know, they basically have Aaron Harang and nobody else on their pitching staff. The Brewers don't have the experience, and their starting pitching is not very good either. And neither is the Cardinals, quite frankly, but somehow they're winning. So, and they have the experience in the pennant race. That's the thing I'd worry about. So, I'd have to say I'm worried more about the Cardinals right now. The Cubs have 5 games left with them, and those may be the ones that decide who wins and who doesn't.
Right. It almost seemed like through July and August when the Cubs were winning, you know, the Brewers were winning, then the Cubs were losing, then the Brewers were losing. It seemed like we're just keeping, you know, just pretty much in the same sync with the Brewers, and finally we were able to, you know, catch up and move ahead of the Brewers just a little bit, and now it's, you know, it's a 3-team race right now. We're three games are separating the top three teams in the central right now.
Right. With this many games left, you know, we still don't know. It could go any direction. You know, some one of them, hopefully the Cubs, could roll off 6-7 wins in a row. That's not impossible. And, you know, the Cubs have had a 6-game winning streak this year. If they win 6 in a row right now, they could suddenly find themselves 4 or 5 games in first place.
Right. I heard somewhere that the schedule for the Cubs in the next couple weeks is, like, well, I think partially because they're playing central teams is incredibly, like, they're playing under 500 teams right now for the next couple weeks, and we can only hope that's going to be a good omen for the Cubs. But that doesn't always, you know, bode well. I mean, I know in the last year, the Cubs would not do so well against the Pirates, but would, you know, crush the Cardinals. So, you know, who knows? If indeed we see the Cubs make it to the playoffs, what then? Yeah,
I just wrote a little bit about this on Bleak Cubby Blue the other day. I kind of got buried in one of the threads so I can tell you, here and get it out in the open. You know, I worry a little bit about facing the Diamondbacks or the Padres and the Mets because the Cubs have not played well against them this year.
Right.
Any of those teams. But on the other hand, there are, great examples from all through recent baseball history, including last year, of teams that have gotten stomped by the teams they faced in the postseason during the regular season, and they turn around. The Cardinals last year, for example, against the three teams they faced in the playoffs, the Padres, the Mets, and the Tigers, they were 4-11. They got swept by the Tigers in a regular season series. Didn't mean anything once the playoffs started. Even the 05 White Sox, who faced Boston and the Angels in the playoffs, took 7 out of 8. They were 7-10 against those two teams in the regular season. Throughout the regular season records, when October 1st hits, don't mean anything. You just have to get... You've got to get hot at the right time. What team does that? We don't know.
Essentially, the playoffs and the World Series are just totally different beasts when it comes
to... It's a new season.
Right,
it's a new season. Right, exactly.
Right. And hopefully, our boys can have, a good approach to the...
Well, one thing that's been real good, the Cubs have had consistent starting pitching all year, and that, as you know, can take you deep into the postseason.
Right. We have a pretty deep rotation.
Going all the way down to Sean Marshall and Rich Hill, they've had their ups and downs, but they've often decent.
Right.
Decent. Nobody's been awful. And, you've had 5 guys who have started all but 6 games for the whole season. That's pretty impressive. And, all that has to do is continue let's just be optimistic and call it 2 more months.
Right. We're talking to Al Yellen from BleedCubbyBlue.com. Tonight's game, it's the last game of the Brewers series. Any thoughts on how that's gonna go?
Well, you got Ted Lilly, who's been pretty consistent, all year. And, you know, I sometimes the Cubs come out after a game when they're look totally flat like they did last night and suddenly look, you know, like world beaters. So they could easily do that tonight.
Who's pitching the Brewers?
They're pitching, Manny Parr, who the Cubs have not faced before.
Right. Yeah.
And you know, traditionally a kid left-hander like that, who they've never seen before, is a disaster. But somehow I don't think it will be. You know, you got Craig Monroe, who they acquired specifically to hit left-handed pitching.
Uh-huh.
And who rakes left-handed pitching, and, hopefully he'll be able to do that. It's going to be a cool night tonight. The temperature's dropping.
Right.
It may be, you know, it'll be one of those touch of fall type evenings, and so you know, maybe a little tougher for hitters to get loose. It could be pitchers duel.
That reminds me, your thoughts on Craig Monroe?
They got him to hit left-handed pitching to
right.
play the outfield, hit left-handers, because they really didn't have a right-handed bat with some power, consistent power. Who can do that? Now, you know, everybody knows Craig Monroe is a strikeout machine.
Right.
But when he hits the ball, he can hit it real hard.
Right.
And, you know, he had 28 home runs last year.
Right.
He
was a decent player, and I think he just hit a brick wall this year. I'm not sure what happened, if it was in his head or
he just, you know, sometimes guys do that. Sometimes they just have a tough year. And I think once he started to not hit, you know, Jim Leland started to bench him. And then, of course, nobody can get into a good rhythm then.
No.
So, and I do know that Jim Henry had been after Monroe for a couple of years. They were looking at signing Jack Jones. They were also looking at trying to trade for Monroe. So I know he's been looking at him for quite some time.
Right. Well, I appreciate your time on
no problem.
The Result Radio. I wanted to reintroduce you real quick. So, this is Al Young, and he's from Bleed Cubby Blue. The URL for the website is bleedcubbyblue.com. Please check it out if you have not already, especially you Cub fans out there. But baseball fans in general might enjoy checking out the website. I do think it is a fantastic site, Al.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
You do a wonderful job there, and I have it just scrolling down on my ticker, all the time. It is a good resource for us Cub fans, and keep up the good work, and hopefully we can have you back when the Cubs are in the playoffs, okay?
Sure. Absolutely.
Let's go Cubs, right?
Yeah.
Thanks a lot, Al. I do appreciate your time. That's going to be it for our show today. I want to thank Al Young from Bleed Cubby Blue for being a guest on our show. Please check out the website, Bleed Cubby Blue. It's an awesome Cubs website. The address is bleedcubbyblue.com. Anyone has any comments or suggestions or anything, we have a variety of ways you can let us know how we're doing. You can email us. Our email address is feedback@baseballzealotradio.com. You can give us a voicemail message. You can call us at 217-883-4571. Again, that number is 217-883-4571. Just leave a voicemail. And of course, you can still come to our website, leave a comment. You can go to www.baseballzealotradio.com thebaseballzealot.com. That will be it, and I hope to hear from you guys, and otherwise we will be talking to you in about a week or so. Talk to you later.